Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to this Tuesday edition of Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I avoided the mistake of saying Monday. It feels like Monday, doesn't it? Walker Wildman, co-hosting with me today. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Dr. Ray Pritchard in Kansas City. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Doing well. Fred, could you hear Walker?
No, he's in the background.
I couldn't hear him very much.
His microphone's not working. So we're getting that fixed. Fred, good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning. Good to be back.
All right.
Getting warm. Just one, two. There we go.
I can hear you now.
Change seats.
Okay. So Walker, Ray, and also Fred, we thank you for listening to American Family Radio. I wanted to say thank you for everyone who called in a pledge, mailed in a pledge, or went online last week, Tuesday through Thursday. We had our share-a-thon here at American Family Radio, and much to our surprise, it was a record-breaking share-a-thon, Walker.
That's right.
In terms of what, the amount and the number of people?
Yeah, across the board, numerically, we had a great share-a-thon, over 3.6 million pledged, and over 16,000 families donated to share-a-thon, which beat the fall 2019 share-a-thon by a long shot. And so we're just very, very grateful to our supporters and thankful to God for the generosity.
Right.
Amen.
So we've learned something. It's probably good to do share-a-thons during a pandemic. That doesn't sound right. But anyway, we wanted to thank everybody. Ray, were you aware of
not heard that until just now. Tim, we got the best listeners in the world.
Mm-hmm.
People, because listen, our people, they're going through hard times just like everybody else.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not exempted from any of that, but our people, talk about stepping up and setting records.
Mm-hmm.
With best listeners in the world, bar none. That's just it.
Yeah.
Hey, tell that story about you being in the airport over in, was it South Korea?
I was in South Korea, right? Last time I was there, there was a long, long line. It's one of these huge airplanes with like 450 passengers. And it was the end of my trip to South Korea. I actually had been in Philippines and South Korea. So the last thing I had to do was fly home. And I was sort of just, you know, Tim, you get in those long lines mm-hmm. and you just sort of zone out. And there was a couple of guys there from the United States, and they were making jokes, and I was cracking jokes with them a little bit. And there was a fellow next to me, and he looked up at me quizzically, and I said hi to him, and that was that. And then started the boarding, and so everybody's going all over the plane, and I take my seat and just happened to have, I mean, I was way back in the back, I think row 54 or something like that, right? And I was on the aisle, and just as providence would have it, across the aisle from me was that gentleman who had looked at me a little bit quizzically when I was standing there with these other people just cracking a few jokes and waiting to get on board. And he looked at me and he said, are you Ray Pritchard?
Wow.
I looked at him like he was a man from Mars. And he said, I listened to you on American Family Radio. And he said, I didn't know your face, because you're never on the screen usually. But he said, when I heard your voice, I knew it was you. And that was a fellow from the Fayetteville area in Arkansas who'd uh-huh. been himself on a missions trip in Thailand and was flying back home through Seoul, South uh-huh. Korea. And we, quote, just happened to be together and just happened to have a seat right across from mine. And he said, I want you to tell him hello for me, because my wife and I, Earl and his wife, Earl said, I listen to American Family Radio, love you guys. And by the way, he said, I love Trivia Friday, which is what people always say when I meet them. But I thought, here it is, you go to the other side of the world,
yeah,
and somebody recognized my voice, didn't know my face. from American Family Radio. Literally, our voices and this ministry now goes all over the world.
Mm. What a story. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And we want to thank everybody who listens and who prays for us and who supports us. And again, Share-a-thon was wonderful and just surpassed our expectations. I don't know why people would say, well, with God, all things are possible, right?
Yeah,
they are, but we're still human and we have our human doubts sometimes. And so anyway. All right, Fred.
Yes,
everything's
sir.
Good in the world, right?
Everything is good in the world.
Okay.
I can celebrate God is in control. That mm-hmm. I know for sure.
Yeah.
So it's good. But, you know, there's the odd controversy out there. And President Trump was addressing one of those over the weekend when he came out and declared that churches are essential. Now, we know during the pandemic there were certain businesses, you know, grocery stores and hardware stores were considered essential. But we also have been doing stories about churches being fined and being attacked by, you know, police departments for holding drive-in services. So we've become very familiar with those stories. But this is going to be cut number 9, Brent. On the weekend, the president's saying, no, I believe that churches are essential. Cut number 9.
Today, I'm identifying houses of worship, churches, synagogues, and mosques as essential places that provide essential services. Some governors have deemed liquor stores and abortion clinics as essential, but have left out churches and other houses of worship. It's not right. So I'm correcting this injustice and calling houses of worship essential. The governors need to do the right thing and allow these very important essential places of faith to open right now for this weekend. If they don't do it, I will override the governors. In America, we need more prayer, not less.
President Donald Trump.
Well, I don't think he can override the governors, but I understand the sentiment,
mm-hmm.
Walker.
Yeah, he can. He doesn't have the authority to override governors because of the 10th Amendment, but he does have pretty strong authority when it comes to the Department of Justice,
mm-hmm.
and at least speaking out for our people who are being having their First Amendment rights violated. So maybe that's what he meant. But Attorney General Barr at the Department of Justice is doing an excellent job assisting people and churches who are having their rights violated, at least speaking out and fighting for them in court. And that's making a big, big difference.
Ray, what do you think about what he said there?
Hey, I think he needs to get the governor of Michigan, the governor of California, and the mayor of Chicago on the phone and read them the Riot Act because...
Or read them the Constitution.
Yeah, thank you. Skip that. Just read them the Constitution.
Yeah.
Especially, Fred, this mayor of Chicago. I mean, didn't she send the police to try to shut down a church on Sunday?
Yeah, a couple of the black churches in that city.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this, you know, it breaks along political lines, it seems.
Yeah.
In the country right now, like you mentioned, Governor Newsom in California, in particular, there's going to be a head-on collisions coming. It may come this Sunday. Because we talked about this last week, there are a couple of thousand churches in California have said that they are going to be open for business come this Sunday. Worship services, whether the governor likes it or not. Now, interesting enough, over the weekend, Governor Newsom there in California listed his conditions, the state's conditions, in order for a church to open its doors this coming Sunday. Now listen to this. Under the governor's new guidelines, places of worship could reopen pending approval from their county public health officials on the condition that they limit attendance to 25% of the building capacity or a maximum of 100 attendees, whichever is lower. Now stop and think about that. There are some pretty big churches in California. They have like 3,000, 10,000 members, but the governor is saying, I'm not going to allow any more than 100 to attend one service. And then beyond that, the distancing sort of thing. Even in some cases, they say that when you're in church, you'll have to wear the mask. And, oh, by the way, we're not going to allow any singing or recitation, I guess, of, you know, responsive reading of scripture, that sort of thing. Not going to allow that either. Now, I tell you what, there is going to be some kickback on that. We're going to be watching that this week.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to see some legal challenges very quickly to this statements of conditions that churches could open.
Yeah, this is getting to a point, Fred, where there really doesn't need to be that many regulations, because churches can make their own decisions. And the vast majority of churches and businesses are going to do smart things to protect their customers or their churchgoers.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, there's going to be a few that pack it out, but that's on them. Mm-hmm. I mean, if people want to go in a church or a business or wherever, and they want to be packed and close to everybody, that's their own decision. And if some of them get sick, that's their own decision. But at some point, we have to get past this idea that the government has to have their hands in everything to protect everyone and just let people make smart decisions.
You know, Tim, this really concerns me. Part of what Fred was saying from the governor of California, it's one thing to say about the limiting of the size. Okay, I can at least begin to understand that. But to say you can have church, but you can't sing, or you can have church and but you can't recite the Apostles' Creed. Is that not then the government dictating to congregations what the actual content of worship can be?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that pretty close to state-run worship?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. It is.
Mm-hmm.
And it must be rejected.
Yeah.
And the governor there needs to rescind that. I don't know if he will or not, but couple things there. One is the Department of Justice, which is in Washington, D.C., but they're over the whole country. The Attorney General is William Barr. We know that. And he issued some pretty strong statements supporting churches and the First Amendment and religious freedom in the last week or so. And I think that's given, of course, that was one of the things President Trump was referring to a few minutes ago when we played that comment by the president. But you know, you've got to, most states, if they're smart, just keep their hands out of the church's business, right?
Yeah,
right.
I mean, I know most states. Well, I don't know if this is true. I haven't done a survey, Walker, but I would think most states, even Whitmer, they're in Michigan. Initially, at least, maybe she changed her tune, but initially she said her state attorneys, the attorneys that represent the governor's office here in Michigan, told her don't do anything to regulate the churches, just make suggestions and recommendations. Now, I don't know if that changed with her or not, but I think in most states, I know in our home state of Mississippi, there has never been any regulations.
No.
As it concerns churches, it's just be smart and we encourage you to follow these guidelines. And churches have followed these guidelines. And the Walkers, you say, the churches don't want their members to get sick or to pass the virus either. So they're doing things that are, CDC compliant, you could say.
Mm-hmm.
Although the CDC keeps changing about every couple weeks, CDC says, well, oops, we changed our mind on this one.
Yeah.
Let me just tell folks that you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, and I'm Tim with Fred and Walker and also Ray. Now, if you want to watch us on the internet, Walker, how can they do that?
Yes, they can go to YouTube or Facebook. Just go to the show page on YouTube or Facebook, type in Today's Issues. You can watch the live stream there, but you can also, as we mentioned earlier in the show, you can download the app, AFR app, or you can go to our website, afr.net, and listen live.
The idea about singing is that the health concern there, Ray, is they would say, well, that's projecting, what do you call the things that give you the virus?
Droplets.
Yeah, droplets.
Projecting droplets across the, you know, sanctuary or whatever. Most people are practicing social distancing.
It's a valid concern. Fine, separate the people out.
Right.
I don't.
Some people don't need to be singing anyway. Let's be honest. Yeah. we've all heard them.
As a matter of fact, yes.
But I think to our point here, the 25% capacity, and or no more than 100 people.
Mm.
Well, you've got, Fred mentioned this morning, you've got churches that can seat thousands.
Right.
And so you should be able to do at least 50% capacity, to where basically everybody has a seat in between them. And and they'll be able to fit hundreds of people in these churches. But instead, you could have a church that's 20,000 square feet sanctuary, and you've got 100 people in the first three aisles.
I'm going to give you my opinion. I think you share this opinion, Walker. I don't know if Ray or Fred do, if both you guys do or not. I think the time has come just to forget all this stuff. Just forget all these CDC regulations. This is my opinion now. Okay, so I know there are listeners who disagree. But and let people use their own common sense and their own freedom to decide what's best for them and what's best for the churches, and keep the state's hands off of it altogether. No more rules about singing or recitations or nurseries or anything like that. By the way, kids don't get this stuff. They don't get the COVID.
Right.
Kids don't even get the COVID-19. Now, I guess you could say, well, the kids would pass it on to the adults who are supervising them. And maybe that's true. But you know what? You could say that about everything.
Sure. Right. Flu.
You could say that about everything. Yeah. I think most Americans, Fred and Ray, are coming to the place, and I say most Americans, Democrat, Republican, whatever, coming to the place that we have to resume life here, and that means, you know, we can't be paranoid about every little interaction we have with one another.
No.
And especially with respect to churches, you are talking about our constitutional First Amendment liberties and rights that must be guarded. And the time has come for us to get back to... Now, if you live in California, you know, I mean, no disrespect to our friends who live in California, but that's a wacky place as far as politics go. Mm-hmm. There are all far lefties out there who control the governors, the legislatures, the city councils. So that's kind of what you're going to expect. They're going to continue to do these kinds of things. But it doesn't make it right. But I'm just saying, you can expect when you live under those
secular
progressives.
I think what a lot of church folks are pointing out is the hypocrisy that's at play right now.
Yeah.
You're telling churches you got to follow all of these guidelines. But I don't know, over the last several weeks, have you been to a hardware store or big box store like Walmart? People are going about their businesses in these businesses. They're not practicing 6 feet apart. You know, they're crowding the aisles.
You mean strictly? They're not practicing strictly.
No.
You're going to brush into somebody. You're going to pass somebody at 2 feet with your buggy. That's kinds of things.
Exactly. And they don't seem to be under the heavy hand of government as is being proposed in places like California against churches. Mm-hmm. That's and so people are seeing this and saying, wait a minute, I was just down to Walmart and I walked around and, you know, it seemed business as usual down there.
Yeah.
Or the hardware store. And they're saying, wait a minute, why are you saying this about church?
All right. We're going to be talking more about that with Dr. Ray Rooney, who's written an article about opening up. Churches have got to start opening up. Right. And come out of hiding, church, is the title of his piece, and we're going to talk about that. Come out of hiding, church. All right, next story, Fred.
Well, I think we talked about the new press secretary at the White House, Kayleigh McEnany, last week, and found out that she is a believer, accepted Christ as Savior many years ago. Well, she's been in the spotlight lately because the way she's handling reporters, and... one of the things that she's been doing is, listen, you guys, like last week on Friday, she was saying she got 11 questions from reporters on why Trump was considering churches essential. But then she suggested to them, here's some questions you ought to be asking right now, more important questions than trying to, criticize the president for declaring churches essential. So it's going to be cut number two here. She's suggesting some questions for reporters.
I would like to lay out a series of questions, and perhaps if I write them out in a slide format, maybe we're visual learners and you guys will follow up with journalistic curiosity. So number one, why did the Obama administration use opposition research funded by a political organization and filled with foreign dirt to surveil members of the Trump campaign? Number two, why was Lieutenant General Michael Flynn unmasked? Not by the intel community entirely, but by Obama's chief of staff, by the former Vice President Joe Biden. You know, if it were political appointees in the Trump administration, I can guarantee you I'd have questions in my inbox right now. Where are the questions to Obama's spokesperson? Because my team would be running around this building should this have happened under the Trump administration.
Well, she set off dynamite with that, I'll tell you. And she's done this a couple of times now, and she lists these questions, and then she walks off. She said, you guys chew about this now for the next few days, and I'll wait to hear from you. Well, on Sunday, on Fox, Chris Wallace and Jonah Goldberg went at Kayleigh McEnany and just thought she was totally out of line for daring to suggest to reporters, maybe you should be focusing on the important questions like what the Obama administration did after Trump won the election in November of 2016. Here's a little bit about what they had to say on Fox yesterday. Cut number three.
If Kayleigh McEnany had told Sam Donaldson and me what questions we should ask, that would not have gone well, Jonah.
I think her behavior is indefensible and grotesque. What Donald Trump wants in a press secretary is a Twitter troll who goes on attack, doesn't actually care about doing the job they have, and instead wants to impress an audience of one.
What's missing from this conversation that we've had this morning is the context by which she is making these statements. The confrontational nature by which journalists approach the questioning is not really to obtain much information so much as to try to back them into the corner. And I think Kayleigh said, I'm not going to play that game.
And that's exactly her attitude. She's not going to play that game. Listen, this is a different world today. You know, Chris Wallace talks about when he and Sam Donaldson were reporters at the White House. Well, back then, they behaved like journalists to a certain degree. But today, it's, you know, the mainstream media is basically in the back pocket of the Democratic Party. And that's why people like Kayleigh McEnany is just, they're upset and they're calling reporters on it.
Mm-hmm. Look, if you don't want to, if you don't think there's any value in the press conferences at the White House, then don't send a reporter.
Yeah.
Don't go. Don't cover it. They don't have to.
Right.
They don't have to. And I think what her questions were, by the way, when those weren't all her questions. She did comment on the questions of the day from the media, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's right.
So, but she is making some valid points, because if she doesn't make them and the president doesn't make them, then they're not made at all.
Correct.
Hardly. Mm-hmm. And they're very important issues. These aren't trivial things that she's talking about. And they're going to fade from the news pretty quick if the Democrats have, and the liberal media, they don't want to talk about the stories that she brought up,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's right.
So that's part of her job, is to push back.
Yep.
And all right, we shall return momentarily with more of today's issues on American Family Radio. Our guest will be Dr. Ray Rooney in just a moment. He's written an article called Come Out of Hiding, Church, talking about the church's response to the coronavirus. We'll talk to him about that. And other topics of the day, straight ahead with more of today's issues.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
The world places value everywhere except on our families and our home. In fact, many of our young women have been deceived into thinking that family is an impediment to them fulfilling what God has called them. them to do.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everybody. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, our September Spiritual Heritage Tours are filling up, so if you want to go with us, we need to hear from you very soon. We're going to go to the World War II Memorial, United States Capitol, the Library of Congress, the Supreme Court, the Lincoln Memorial, the Korean and Vietnam Memorials, the Iwo Jima Memorial, the Arlington National Cemetery, where we'll see the changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. We're going to the White House, the outside of the White House, the Jefferson Memorial, the National Archives, and we're going to George Washington's Mount Vernon. So your tongue's going to be dragging when we're through with this tour. We'd love for you to join us if you'd like to. Also, we have Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown on tap as well for September. So all the information is available at spiritualheritagetours.com. SpiritualHeritageTours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically-centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot dispatched police officers to shut down parking lots and tow the cars of Christians attending Sunday services at a Romanian church. Liberty Council tells me the mayor posted no parking signs around the neighborhood and around the church and sent police to tow the cars of residents. Elhem Romanian Pentecostal Church and Logos Baptist Ministries held services Sunday in defiance of state emergency orders banning large gatherings. The church filed a federal lawsuit last week against Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker for what they called an unconstitutional executive order targeting Christians. On Friday, a federal judge rejected an emergency order filed on behalf of the congregations. U.S. District Judge Robert Gettleman, who was nominated to the bench by former President Clinton, accused the churches of being selfish. Staver took issue with the judge's harsh rebuke, said the free exercise of religion is enshrined in the First Amendment and cannot be trashed with an insult. Again, is this the kind of America you want to live in? I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
So, Fred, I'm going to take a survey here. By the way, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I'm Tim with Walker, Fred, and Ray. Thank you for listening to AFR. If you'd like to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. Fred, do you think is it better to wear gloves or wash your hands to avoid the virus?
Better to wear gloves or wash hands.
Yeah, there's a debate going on. Fred,
I don't like gloves in the summertime, mm-hmm. So wash hands.
Wash hands.
Yep.
Ray,
and do it all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
Wash hands and have the sanitizer with you in the car. Got a little bottle there. And then, yeah. You know. Yeah. Yeah.
And that sanitizer, I read somewhere where it can explode in a hot car.
I know.
You
if,
see that?
If you leave, yes. Yes.
Yeah, and it'd be bad
that's
to come
true.
Back to your car and have sanitizer just, I guess windows. It would evaporate pretty quick.
Huh? Well, at least it smells
the cleanest
good.
The inside of your car has ever been, probably.
Yeah. Okay, Walker, where are you going with hand washing or gloves?
I read the article you're looking at this morning, so
All right.
Cheated.
Well, go ahead. What did it say? What was the result?
Well, gloves are for short-term use, but hand washing is the top. Is the most effective way to.
My thing is, when I see people wearing gloves, especially in public, doing public work, I mean, by that I mean dealing with the public, they're wearing their gloves for 30 minutes.
Right.
Right.
Touching everything and everybody's stuff. What if they got it on their glove?
Yeah. So to your point, it becomes ineffective. The gloves become ineffective.
Right.
Gloves are meant.
Well, they're effective, all right. They're effective at spreading.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same as right. not having gloves.
But it, preventative wise, it would.
Yeah. Well, I think the article you're looking at came from a CDC release or statement that said.
And they're consistent.
Right. Hey, we can trust them.
But they're saying what we've known all along, and that gloves are for short term use. You know, if you want to use gloves for 3 minutes while you're pumping gas. And then you throw them in the garbage before you get back in the car.
Okay, I see.
That's effective. And like doctors will number one, they have clean hands, but doctors will put on gloves before they see a patient for 2 minutes. And then when they're done seeing the patient, the gloves are gone. But what you're seeing out in the public is people wearing gloves for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, and they're just as dirty as your hands.
The mask debate.
Right. It's hot. Boy, it is hot. That has turned from a scientific debate just to a really emotional.
Well, you're touching your face, Ray.
Yes, I know.
I'm just.
Yes, but I'm going to wash my hands.
I feel called to be the face touching police. Yes, that's my.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Well, I'm just going to. Well, I see I'm about to touch my face again. All right. this thing about the face mask, it's gone out of the realm of rationality into some other realm, because we're not talking about personal preference anymore. Did you see the video of the grocery store on Staten Island in New York City? I mean, they not just shamed that girl without a mask. They shouted her, a bunch of people with masks on. And I'm not talking store employees. These are customers yelling and shouting, and ran her out of the grocery store because she didn't have a mask on. That's crazy to me. Yeah. Just crazy.
Well, I question the one we've talked about this. I see people driving in their car all by themselves.
Yes.
And they have a mask on.
I know.
Big question mark.
I was at the golf course 2 days ago. I'm out there and look over, and on the other hole, there's a fellow over there with a mask on.
You're not telling the truth.
No, I'm kidding. You're not serious? Kidding. He's golfing and he has a mask. It's gone.
Look, I was out riding my bike yesterday, Tim, and I saw somebody on a bike, riding a bike, wearing a mask, which is incredibly difficult to do. I wouldn't attempt.
Right, because heavy breathing, right?
Heavy breathing. Yeah. That's exactly right. I don't know how they do that. And you're out in public. Person was riding by themselves. There was nobody around them. I don't get the point of that.
Yeah. Open air. The masks do serve a purpose.
Sure.
If you're in
close quarters
from keeping you from, if you had it, although if you're not sick at all,
right?
Because people say, well, you're sick and you don't know it.
Yeah, the masks go back to people carrying it without showing symptoms.
Well, some stores are requiring you to wear a mask. So I've seen that.
Mm-hmm. Well, too. I went shopping at Costco the other day. Right. My wife and I did, and we both put on a mask. Sure. It's the only time in this whole pandemic that I've worn a mask when I've gone outside of the house. Sure. But my attitude is, look, they got some stuff at Costco I want. Their house, their rules, right?
Right.
That's right. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
No, I don't either.
You don't have to go in if you don't want to.
There are other places to shop.
Right, but if the store, and I can understand you're in a confined area, a lot of people shoulder to shoulder moving around. I can understand that. Although, I got to tell you, Dr. Fauci told us in March, masks don't make a difference. Remember that?
I do remember that.
Huh? Mm-hmm. Dr. Fauci. I'm talking about
Let me ask you this question, Tim. As churches begin to regather, should they encourage people to wear masks? Should they just say, you can if you want to, you don't have to? Should they require it? I think some churches maybe are saying, we're open, but you got to wear a mask to come in.
That's completely up to the leadership of the church.
Yeah.
You know, right. I don't have a problem either way. If you're an attendee of that church and they require you to wear a mask, then you complain.
Yeah. Yeah, and we've got so many different.
Duly noted.
We got so many different.
Just say you want your tithe this month, then get rid of the mask requirement.
Yeah.
Just extortion is what I'm saying. Spiritual extortion is probably the way to go if you're in that situation.
It's going to be controversial, because Christians aren't, I don't know of a verse that tells you to wear a mask or not wear a mask.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's all about wisdom. And, you know, you do have to, there should be a few compelling reasons to wear a mask. Number one being close quarters. Number two being if you know people around you have had an illness or you have it, or you just got over it, things like that. But it is pretty non-compelling when everybody's spread out and you're like 30 feet from the nearest person and everybody's got a mask on, and you're outside, things like that. It does make you question, so why are we wearing these again?
Dr. Fauci again said in March, wearing a mask, Dr. Fauci here, okay, said wearing a mask doesn't help. He said it makes people feel better, but it doesn't really help.
But now, did he change that later?
He did change that. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's part of the point.
Right.
You know, is he going to change again next month? Then he came out wearing a mask at a White House press conference last week.
Right.
You know, the science, if I put that in quotations because not that I understand it that well, but I do have a layman's understanding of, you ask yourself, well, why do doctors and nurses wear masks if they don't do any good? Well, they do good to prevent you from giving it to somebody else.
Correct.
Should you sneeze or cough and you have the virus. So I understand that to an extent. I'm going to be flying an airplane in about 3 weeks, and I'm going to put on a mask. They're going to require me to, either probably not TSA, probably the airline, mm-hmm. maybe both.
Right, right.
They're going to require me to, and I don't have a problem with that. You know, I want to. In fact, I was going to put on one anyway because, as Walker said, I'm going to be in a close, confined area for a couple hours, mm-hmm. and I don't want to. So I think that would be helpful. But just to require them everywhere, open air.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
I don't think that's necessary. And there's a lot of shaming going on, mass shaming.
Yeah.
Going on. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim with Ed. Excuse me, Ray. Ed's not here today. Where is Ed? I haven't seen him all day.
Ed is out of the office today.
Okay. Is he wearing a face mask?
I'll ask him.
Would you text him?
We better
him?
Find out.
Because if he isn't, he's going to hear from all of us because he doesn't care about people. Huh? All right. So, Ray Rooney is, we got two Rays now. Ray Rooney is with us, Dr. Ray Rooney. Good morning, brother.
Good morning.
Hey, tell our listeners what you do every day.
I'm the digital media editor here at American Family Association. I kind of run the blog site, The Stand, and you can get to The Stand at afa.net and click the big picture. That'll take you to that story, or you can just go to the tab up top that says The Stand, and there have all
What's
our,
there?
We have blogs that basically cover three big areas, faith, family, and culture. Everything we write fits under one of those categories, and it's just it's our voice trying to get out there into the wilderness of the world, sort of our viewpoints.
Okay, you wrote a column yourself.
Yes.
And it's called our blog, Come Out of Hiding, Church, is the headline.
Yeah.
What is this about?
Well, it's about the church during this COVID-19 situation and how it started off where we were doing each other a favor by not congregating. And yeah, I think Walker's talked about it before, where we agreed to help flatten the curve.
Mm-hmm. We wanted to be good citizens, team
yes,
players, right?
That's yeah. right. But then as time went on, things have changed, and you can just pick up your newspaper or look on the internet and see how churches seem to be targeted for not restarting. Some places like Walmart and some of these grocery stores, et cetera, never did shut down. They may have had a regulation on how many could go in, but for whatever reason, now we're still running up against this brick wall of churches you ought not get back together. And there are many that are, and they're facing repercussions for it. And I sort of wanted to address the church about it's time for the world to see our light.
And what does that mean?
Well, the light needs to shine, and this is basically what the way I approached it was. Once we became aware that the churches were being treated differently than other businesses, those of us in steeped in the in preaching or studying the Bible, it was kind of easy to recognize this is more of a spiritual warfare thing where the church is being treated differently. And I just raised the question, well, where does this come from? How come liquor stores can stay open, but you don't want the church to stay open? And yeah. So it's a spiritual warfare aspect to it. And I think it's just time for the church to be the church.
Rebel against the government?
Well, no, to be the church. I mean, one of the things I made a point on in this blog is that I think it comes back to what it is we think we are saved for, all right? And if you're saved to go to heaven, then this, you just want to jump ship here. But if you're saved to follow Jesus, then you got to follow him. And he doesn't really shy away from the darknesses. One of the things I pointed out was the first thing he did after his baptism, and the Father said, "This is my beloved Son," was to go out into the wilderness and confront Satan. I mean, this idea that we got to pull back because things are wicked and evil is it doesn't make sense. I mean, yeah. here's why I said come out of hiding, church. Ephesians 6 talks about the whole armor of God. Suited up with it, all right, with the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, helmet of salvation. Well, my point is this. What good does all that do sitting on the couch at home? And it doesn't even do a lot of good by listening to a digital sermon. Now, I'm not downing, that's sure. That's some way that people are staying connected. So I'm not criticizing that. I'm just saying at some point we got to be the church and go back out there where Jesus is.
Yeah. In-person fellowship is crucial, and it has been since the beginning of the church.
Brad, you got anything? Walker, to interrupt you?
No, you're fine.
No problem at all. I think Ray is exactly right. I believe we are in the midst of a great spiritual battle here. It's being manifested on a lot of different fronts. Just played that clip from the president last Friday declaring churches to be essential. And he made the remark about, hey, we're opening up liquor stores, but we have certain governors that are saying, I'm not going to allow churches to meet. Of course this is spiritual. Of course this is the warfare that, if you read scripture, that warfare has been going on. And this is just, I think we've been kind of spoiled in this country. But this pandemic has brought about a realization that there are forces out there that want to shut churches down and want to shut Christians out of the conversation. I know this is not perhaps part of the blog, but We're facing threats right now from social media that if you say something as a Christian that offends somebody else, we're going to shut that Twitter account down, that your Facebook, whatever the case may be. So spiritual warfare is real, and we are in the midst of it, and we have to realize that.
Ray, Ray Rooney, we've got two Rays here. If people want to read this column you wrote, you're talking about, where can they go?
AFA.net/thestand, and you will see about 12 blogs, and it's still on that blog site, and you'll see it. You'll see the Come Out of Hiding Church.
Okay, and it's also on our Facebook page, Today's Issues Facebook page. We put it there. Come Out of Hiding Church is the title of the column written by our guest, Dr. Ray Rooney. Ray oversees our digital media presence in terms of our opinions and columns and blogs. So a lot of good content renewed every day.
Every day.
Refreshed every day.
And you can sign up for the Daily Digest, too, where we'll send you the top.
What do you have to do to do that?
On any blog, there's a little button up there that says sign up for the Daily Digest.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Ray.
Yes, sir.
You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Fred.
I think we're familiar with the name Judge Emmett Sullivan.
Yeah, the judge overseeing the Flynn case?
Yeah, because we know the DOJ now has determined, thanks to the revelations of what was going on during the final days of the Obama administration, where they targeted Michael Flynn. And when it's come to light, the unmasking of his name, et cetera, the Department of Justice has decided to drop the case against Michael Flynn. So you had now, in order to do that, the formal procedure is you go back to the judge who originally decided in the case, and you say, okay, the DOJ says, the prosecution says, we don't want to carry forward with this case. We don't think there's anything there. Now, normally, 99.9% of the time, the judge would say he's got the lawyer for the defendant, in this case, Michael Flynn, prosecution sitting in front of him. Both of these group of lawyers agree, we have no case anymore. Mm-hmm. And the judge just rubber stamps, says, okay, very right. Got no case. There it goes. Judge Emmett Sullivan is fighting this. He's saying, I don't think I'm going to allow that. And I'm going to bring in people who disagree with you. Now there's new revelations about what is driving Judge Emmett Sullivan in his thinking at this point. The Gateway Pundit, Sandy Rios, sent this out earlier this morning. Here's the headline. Judge Emmett Sullivan from the General Flynn trial arranged a speaking gig for James Comey at Howard University for $100,000. James Comey, FBI director, the guy who led the charge for the Obama administration against Michael Flynn, according to this story, the judge arranged for James Comey to be paid $100,000 for a speaking gig at Howard University. Now, there's something else in this story. Apparently, Judge Emmett Sullivan, his son, runs a business, and in that business, among other things, they create T-shirts. Somebody investigated what goes on these T-shirts. A lot of hate Trump propaganda. Could it be that we have a judge that's extremely biased against Trump, and that's what's driving this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. The answer is yes. Mm-hmm. And if the judge had any decency, he would have recused himself a long time ago.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, because he can't be objective. And he's shown this, right? This is shown to be true because he's become judge, jury, and hangman.
Mm. Well, in any normal universe, I mean, legal universe, what Fred said early on would have happened. The judge would have said, both sides agree. The prosecutors have said there's no case here because it's completely tainted. It, to me, Fred, it's unprecedented what this judge has done. There's no, appears to be, no legal foundation for it. And now it comes out he's apparently, big surprise, biased against the president.
Yeah.
How can you get away with this? How can this happen?
Yeah, this circuit court in D.C.
We're talking about a federal court here.
Right.
By the way.
Yeah, the federal circuit in D.C., this is why we have to decentralize a lot of the power in our government. Because what you have here in D.C. is you got this federal circuit, the same thing with the FISA court that's also in D.C., and they all know each other. Everyone knows each other. They all go to the parties together. They all hang out at the same places after work. They all go to dinner at the same place. They're at the same social gatherings. Remember the FISA judge that signed off on these warrants that have to do with the same case that Flynn's talking about? He and Strzok, the FBI agent in charge of the case, they were going to tea parties together. And they were talking about the case at the tea parties.
Well, if they're going to tea parties together and they're...
Well, they're men. You get my point.
They ought to be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah, anyway, but you get my point. They're on a first-name basis. They're all friends. They all know each other. They all work together. That's the problem here. Emmett Sullivan's all tied up in the D.C. circles. He knows James Comey. They're friends.
But they're liberals.
Yeah, they're all liberals.
They're all liberals.
Yeah, but how can these judges in D.C. who are all friends with all the executive branch people, how can they be objective? That's why we really need these cases to get out of the D.C. circle.
But now, Fred, with this situation, this judge does have a higher court between him and the Supreme Court, right?
That's right. I dropped by Abe Hamilton's office this morning to ask him about this. Is this the final straw in all of this? And he says what the lawyers for Michael Flynn have to do, what the Department of Justice has to do, is ask for this whole case now to be moved to another jurisdiction.
Yeah.
It's got to be done.
Yes.
Yeah, this judge, Emmett Sullivan? Federal judge. Is he an Obama appointee?
Not sure. I'd have to.
Or Clinton. Mm-hmm. Anyway, far lefty and is unabashed about it and lets his politics interfere with his judicial rulings. That's the way. Again, if this were normal procedure that he was following, then you could say, well, it doesn't matter what he's left or right or what. But what he's done is when the Justice Department wanted to dismiss the case against Flynn and the judge said no, that wasn't his, I mean, maybe it was technically his prerogative. I don't know all the legalese there, but I know 99.9% of the time, as Fred said, the judge says, all right, no case here. Everybody go home.
Right.
You know, but this judge says, no, wait a minute. I think I'm going to call in opinions from outside this courtroom on whether this should be allowed or not.
Yeah.
Called amicus briefs. And we'll see what happens. But again, I don't have much confidence that anything will happen with this federal judge. Maybe the court above him will, again, there's a court between this judge and the Supreme Court made up of multiple judges. Maybe they will bring some justice to this situation. But federal judges in this country, that's why it's so important who they are and who appoints them, because they are little gods. That's what they are.
Yeah.
Obviously with a small g, in the sense that they are untouchable. They don't have to answer to anybody except maybe a higher court, but they're not, you know, they don't, that other than that, they're not accountable. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Go ahead, Fred.
Well, in the few minutes we have left, since last we met, Joe Biden has found himself in another bit of controversy.
Since this morning? When did it...
Since last Thursday, since we did...
last Thursday, last Thursday. What did he do, Fred?
Well, last Friday morning, he went on the Breakfast Club, which is hosted by Charlemagne the God.
That's what he calls himself.
That's what he calls himself, all right?
He's a radio talk show host, and he calls himself a god.
Yes, African-American talk show host.
Yeah.
Had Joe Biden
very
on.
Very popular.
Yep, very popular. Biden was in his basement there. And, this guy said, yeah, I have a lot of questions for you, Vice President Biden, former vice president. And Biden said, well, I got to go because my wife's got to do an interview with this camera. And
They had done a 15 to 17 or 18 minute interview already, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So right. Vice President Biden, to be fair, had done a lengthy interview with this guy one-on-one.
Uh-huh.
All right. Okay.
Yep.
But he says, I got to get off. Yep. Biden says, I got to get off here because my wife needs to use this.
Mm-hmm.
Video stream.
Yes. And that's when Biden responded with this that has created a firestorm. It's cut number five, Brent.
It's a long way until November. We got more questions.
You got more questions. But I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black.
Yeah. Another stick of dynamite.
Oh, brother.
Went off across the country. And across political lines.
But why would liberals get upset about that?
Why would well, because there's the black folks say, wait a minute, you're just saying because you're a Democrat we should vote for you?
Well,
ain't no way.
That's reality.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of liberal black
85
folks.
85 to 90% of African American voters vote Democrat every single day, all day.
Yeah, but Biden's saying just because of your pigmentation that you should vote D.
Yes.
Which is what he believes.
Which is a reality.
Yeah.
I just don't understand what he's apologizing for. I don't understand why a liberal is upset about what he said, is what I'm saying. Huh? I can understand if you're a conservative black person because you're going, how dare you? Mm-hmm. I can think for myself.
Well, he's dumbing down their vote to their skin color. That's insulting.
But that's why he's on the show. He's telling black folks you can vote for me like you always do. I'm not getting on to you, Walter.
Yeah.
I'm not criticizing you.
That's insulting.
I don't know what all the fear, I don't know what all the upsetness is. That's the word for that. We'll be back in a minute.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.